Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. This is the first installment of a two-part podcast covering the observations made during a CFT conversation on teaching on the topic of teaching outside the classroom. In this episode, we feature Steve Baskoff, senior lecturer in biological sciences, as he reflects on his experiences teaching courses that involve a field component.
So I'm going to be talking about particularly what I've done in my course, which is the Introduction to Biological Sciences Lab. And in terms of that stuff that we do outside of the classroom, most of it has been related to work that we've done at the Warner Parks. Warner Parks is one of the largest urban parks in the United States. And because of being an urban park, it suffers from a lot of the problems that urban parks have, one of which is the problem of invasive species. And in particular, Warner Parks is very heavily impacted by Lonicera macchii, which is also known as bush honeysuckle. It forms extremely dense growth, so dense that you almost can't see anything underneath the trees. So the park staff had at one point come up with a plan for trying to eradicate it from certain areas of the park. And around 2003-2004, I wanted to have some kind of field experience for my students, and I got the idea of take them out to the park so they could learn a little bit about the problem of invasive species through actual experience. And so the original thing that we did, you could probably just call basically a service learning experience. So the benefit to the park was that we removed bush honeysuckle. The benefit to the students is that they really got to appreciate the problem of invasive species in a way, a very real way, that they couldn't if we just simply described how many hectares there were that were infested or how bad the problem was. Students really get the idea of not only how bad the problem is, but the difficulties in actually doing something about it. So we did this for several years, and then the park staff decided we should go work somewhere else, and we removed privet, which isn't quite as much fun. And I kind of soured on this because the experience didn't seem to be so great for the students. But after a couple years, I kind of got re-inspired. And in particular, I was wondering about the actual impact of what we did. And so in 2008, I thought it would be fun to go out to the place where we pulled bush honeysuckle in 2003 and see if we could actually see whether it made any difference in terms of the vegetation in comparison with an area where we didn't remove it. So I kind of moved from being just a service learning experience to an actual exercise in data collection. And I had to develop a sampling protocol. So here you can see the students in the snow. And so we were able to measure and show that there was a lot more bush honeysuckle in the areas that we didn't remove versus the areas we did, which was no surprise. Another one of the things that I wanted the students to learn how to do was how to use Geographic Information System, or GIS, as a tool for displaying the data that they collected. So here's an example of something they had to do for their problem set. And then the data that we collected on the small woody plants that weren't bush honeysuckle, they did a statistical analysis, and we were able to show that the size distribution was significantly different between the area that we had removed it and the area that we hadn't. Now, unfortunately, this is like a horribly flawed thing. It's not really an experiment because it's so post hoc, but it showed basically that the sampling method worked. And particularly, one of the issues is we have like 350 completely untrained undergrads, and we're going out cold and having them do field work. So how do you can you actually make a protocol that untrained students can do and collect any kind of useful data? So this is kind of a proof of concept thing. And so I got inspired then to have an actual real experiment that would be a long-term experiment. So this is kind of the timeline for the experiment that we have going on right now. So in 2009, we went out and collected baseline data of the areas that we're going to study. Then last year, we removed the bush honeysuckle from 10 by 10 meter quadrats, and then we left 10 of the ones we sampled as controls. And then basically we're going to let it sit for 5 years and we'll go out and see whether we can detect any differences. So here's kind of the layout of the plots. Okay, here you can see before and after shots. And it really is almost horrifying to have this giant machine of up. We have 60 students in a section, so 60, kind of the uncontrolled energy of 60 undergrads out there ripping out bush honeysuckle and just swarming like locusts across this area. But it's a very awesome thing to see what that many people can do in a relatively short period of time. It would have taken weeks for an individual to do what we did in just a few days. So anyway, that was what we did. And because we were ripping all of these trees out, we had all of the dead trees. And so for data collection, I sawed them into sections with a bandsaw, and we conducted some age analyses and did more GIS stuff with that. So that was just kind of a way to justify what we did last year in terms of an actual data collection thing. So to kind of go back to the big picture, the evolution of this project kind of started off as a service learning project, and then it developed into kind of an exercise in how do you collect data, and then it kind of evolved eventually into an actual experiment, which hopefully will produce publishable data in the end, if we are successful. So I sat down and tried to make a list of what were the problems that we faced in doing this. And so after I made the list, and I put them in order of severity. So the worst problem is transportation, because we have so many students. And at first, we got 15 passenger vans that we could scrape up different places on, like the rec center. And then we couldn't do that, so then we rented 15 passenger vans. And then the lawyers in Kirkland Hall banned us from taking 15 passenger vans. And so then we got buses from the medical center, and then we couldn't do that anymore, and so then we rented so and the price kept going up and up and up. But fortunately, our administration is very supportive of the cost necessary for having a field experience for the students. So it's a kind of a hassle, but workable. The other thing, as I already mentioned, is just figuring out a way to actually collect any kind of usable data with that many students. Weather is an issue. We had hot, we had cold, we've been rained on, there's been snow. I tell the students, come dressed for the weather because we're doing it. Unless it's thundering and lightning, we're going out. And they're usually pretty good about that. The snow was a bit much. So we had to coordinate what we did with the park personnel, get the appropriate permits. They have a volunteer coordinator we worked with who did the training on how to safely use the tools like you saw there, how to keep from whacking somebody in the head with a mattock and that kind of thing. And also, we had to figure out a way to get enough tools for all of our students. Then some of the kind of management issues involved, I think one of the big one was to figure out how to use the TAs as basically group leaders. So we have 60 students in the class, which is way too many for one person, but we have 4 teaching assistants. So before we went out, I would basically train the TAs on plant identification and tool safety and organization. What is the plan? How, you know, what's the layout of everything? And so that actually works out pretty well. So once we get there, it's just kind of like a wound-up clock that runs. The TAs take the students off, and it all just kind of happens. Then this is not a major thing, but I've had students who were allergic to all plants, students who couldn't be outdoors in the spring, students who were terrified that they would see a bug. So, you know, the health issues, obviously, there's nothing to do about that. I had to try to accommodate them as best I could. But one of the reasons why I'm really committed to doing something like this is that I was really kind of shocked at how many students had never, ever been in a woods before. So as a person who grew up playing in the woods, it was something that, you know, I felt like was an experience that everyone should have. Some of the students, I kind of had the feeling they'd never actually gotten their hands dirty before. So so all of that, I think, turned out to be a very real-life experience for them. In terms of how we accomplish assessment, there's a certain amount of background material they had to read about invasive species and about sampling techniques, so we would hold them accountable for that on a test later on. As far as actually going in the field, the TA assigned them a participation grade. If they showed up and did what they're supposed to, they got 10 points, basically. But then for the latter two versions of it that involved data collection, I set aside another lab period towards the end of the semester after I had time to collate all the data we collected, and that was when they learned how to do the GIS analysis and the statistical analysis that we required them. One of the problems is how, if you make these beautiful color maps and you don't have a color printer, so how are they going to turn those in? So basically, they put them in a PowerPoint. So they kind of had to pretend they were presenting this in a meeting or something. They made a PowerPoint, and then they messaged that to their TA. So that was how we handled the assessment. One of the questions that was on my prep sheet here was, how does this, the way we do things, how might that be different from other disciplines? And I think, the main thing is this really isn't any different than what we do in a normal lab. In a normal lab, we do an experiment, we collect data, we analyze it. So we're really basically doing the same thing we always do in my class, except we're doing it outdoors. So in that sense, it may be different than something that you'd have in a class that involved more reading or a lecture format or something like that. So the approach is really pretty closely related to what our normal mode of operation is. So that's what I have to say. Okay.
That was Steve Baskoff, Senior Lecturer in Biological Sciences. You can view the show notes, as well as leave comments or questions about this episode, by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on the topic, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant to discuss teaching strategies for your class. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.